Jeff, how you doing?
Great, Jason. How are you?
I am well. It's 23 degrees outside, hottest day of the year so far. It's going to get even nicer the next few days, and that means even more people will be out on the trails biking and running. A lot of people coming out of hibernation getting ready to run. Unfortunately, a lot of people, because everybody's so pumped to get outside, especially runners, there's a lot of injuries from running early on. I know that, you know, talk about a running-specific strength program and how that can help runners avoid injuries.
Well, certainly. You know, a couple of things to take into account, Jason. There's some common injury sites on the body for runners that break down consistently. That being your lower back, and it's the postural muscles that stabilize your spine when you're out running for a while. And if people don't do strength training, specifically in the gym, those areas are typically weak. Other areas like your hips, your knees, your ankles, and then shin splints, always high on the list because of the pounding, right? And again, if someone is to engage in a good resistance program to make all of these support systems strong, when you're out running, it's conducive to improving your biomechanics. And when your biomechanics are good, your posture is good, you're more efficient when you run. When you're more efficient, you're more likely to be able to run fast. So if you're engaging in a 5K race or a 10K race, and if you're competitive by nature and you want to have a good, strong finishing kick, you have to have good support systems that can keep you in a good position so that you can run fast. And obviously, resistance training helps with that. So the one thing I would advise, there's a couple of exercises, strength exercises, that will address all of these injury sites. That being a traditional deadlift is probably the best that you can do. And for your listeners that wouldn't be familiar with that exercise, it's basically a squat and a load on the front side of your body, and you're going through and you're doing a series of repetitions. The reason I like that for runners is that it integrates the whole kinetic chain to work, your glutes, the front of your legs, the back of your legs, your calves, your ankles, and then it stresses the primary support systems in your spine as well. So if you're a runner and you're not on a strength program, go learn how to do that exercise. See a qualified trainer. It'll make a huge difference in your running. Beyond that, throw in a nice upper body movement, like something for the chest, something for the back, you know, to help you maintain good posture there. And then the last thing on the list, you have to do something to stimulate your glutes, make your glutes stronger. So just doing sort of lateral movement patterns with tubing or, you know, with resistance. And even if it's just sort of lateral squats where you actually move sideways, left to right, fantastic movements for runners.
Jeff, now, what about for cyclists? So would it be pretty much the same thing if you get on your bike early on? Are there certain body parts that wear down on cyclists like runners?
Well, you're absolutely right, Jason. I know you cycle, you like to cycle. Being hunched over on a touring bike, your lower back muscles, even though like you're in a static position, but you're forward flexed in your hip, the lower back is one of those areas that certainly breaks down. So again, a basic movement pattern like deadlifts and doing specific exercises that strengthen your spinal erectors, imperative. Now, beyond that, you have to put some time in the saddle, but typically people, their glutes get, you know, a little sore when you start to log a lot of miles sitting on the bike. And again, these lateral movement patterns for your glutes are really important for cyclists as well.
Jeff Woods from Custom Fit joins us. Jeff, what about, so once people, let's say they've got through that preseason strength work and now they're ready to run, the difference between a recreational runner and a competitive runner, what are some of the things that a recreational runner should ensure as far as, you know, frequency and patterns and stuff like that?
Okay, well, that's a good point. So for the recreational runner, so let's say that individual, somebody who just wants to maintain good heart and lung function, want to just go out there because they love to run, and they don't have any injuries, you know, in apparent good health, 3 times a week is probably optimum for that person, and somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes is kind of the timeline. Beyond 45 minutes, it seems like the incidence of injury, if you're running longer than 3 times 45 minutes a week, seems to increase significantly with very little return on improvements in your aerobic capacity. So my advice, just to stay injury-free and keep yourself in the game, three times a week, 30 to 45 minutes, give yourself at least a day rest in between. So never 2 days back-to-back. Now, the difference, if you're a more competitive runner, you know, obviously you're going to have goals in mind because you might be running a marathon or a half marathon. You have to take into account, you know, weeks of training to sort of prep yourself to be competitive in those situations. And you're probably going to be engaging in a lot of speed work. So there's going to be some variables to your training where the intensity is going to be much higher. So with that in mind, those individuals are certainly going to have to be stronger as far as their structural strength goes. So they're probably going to be doing a lot more resistance training in conjunction with their speed work and then logging miles as well.
We're getting into the half marathon triathletes running, though, the 10K runs where, you know, people train for that. And it's not a long distance. How much time, A, do you need to properly train for a 10K realistically?
Well, realistically, if you are a novice runner and you've decided this summer that just because of listening to you and I speak that, okay, I'm going to participate in a 10K run, for example, you would need a minimum, Jason, of 6 weeks. Longer is better. If you can get somewhere in that 6 to 10 week range, as far as time goes, to acclimatize to a nice running program, I would highly recommend that. But 6 weeks at the minimum. And understand that, you know, you're probably going to be running somewhere at the start of your program, 2 to 3 times a week, again, allowing days in between for recovery, okay? And then you're going to sort of progress from there and then to a point where you're going to start to taper maybe 2 weeks prior to the actual time of your 10K race. And tapering means basically it's just reducing the amount of miles that you're out there logging and you're trying to let your body heal so that you're going to be comfortable and sort of injury and pain-free before you get into your race date.
And what about running shoes? What's the ideal time as far as retiring them? Is there a certain amount of miles you should have on your shoes?
Yeah, there's a couple of considerations there. So, I mean, the industry promotes kind of 500 to 600 kilometers and your shoes are done. So, you know, if you're, again, just running for good health and you're kind of logging 30 kilometers a week, that's about 120,000 kilometers a month. So over the course of 5 to 6 months, your shoes are going to be done, okay? So 2 times a year probably for the average person, you're going to buy 2 pairs of shoes. The other advice I would give, if you're planning to run a marathon or some 10K, don't break in your new running shoes on race day. You're setting yourself up for disaster. You're going to end up with blisters. So try to break your shoes in at least a couple of weeks prior to race day. And the same thing with clothing, because you can get like chafing and you can get friction areas even with new clothes, you know, and especially in the marathon distance, Jason. So try to break in your new clothing as well. And the last point I think I would make, you know, most of these runs happen on weekends. They're early in the morning. And it's kind of cool when you start out. So to stay warm, like bring an old sweatshirt or something you don't mind throwing away. You know, wear that until you're into your first couple of Ks, and then you can take it off and throw it away. Race directors typically have it set up where, you know, they'll go around, pick up the clothing that people discard, and then they'll give it away to, you know, societies or groups that are in need of clothing for some. You know, so it's a win-win.
Excellent stuff, Jeff. As always, we appreciate your insight. We'll see you at, how's Plakas? Has he been practicing his karaoke around the gym?
Good Lord, my friend. He is like singing 6 hours a day, singing to clients, preparing himself for this karaoke on Friday night. I just want it to be over because we can't take it anymore, to be honest.
Nice. How will you rate his performance?
Well, at the studio right now, without his wig and his costume, I'm going to give it sort of a 6 out of 10. And we're hoping for something greater, obviously, on Friday night. But I think for anybody who's sitting on the fence about this event, it's going to be worthwhile to come out and see Mr. Plakas do his thing.
Well, I know it'll be entertaining. I'm not sure how good it'll be, but it'll be entertaining.
No question about that. We're all looking forward to it.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.